All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Closer Cult Podcast. I'm your host, Alma Merrill, and today we have Amber Melton. Oops, hold on. There we go. That's the button I was looking for. Live studio audience. So Amber is a friend of mine. We say hi.
Hi.
We do real estate in the same real estate company here, same brokerage, and both have kind of that passion for real estate. So thank you for being here. Here's our freaking amazing audience. Audience, hi. We have at least 200 people today in the audience. So Amber, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it. Now I'm just super curious. Now you and I have not talked a lot about like your business or what you do or all these things, but I've seen your presence, your face, people talking about you throughout like the recent years. And I find that interesting because so many people have this expectation that everybody just comes from money that has money, you know?
Yeah.
And so I want to talk to you about kind of a little bit about your growth, where you came from, why you're so wildly successful, and kind of where you're planning on going in the future. Awesome. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So cool. So tell me, where are you from originally?
Okay. So I grew up in Sandy.
Utah?
Sandy, Utah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I got married, we lived in Mill Creek, like Sugar House area.
Okay.
Mill Creek. And then about 8 years ago, we moved up to Heber. And now I currently live in Oakley.
Heber City, Utah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. So you're going to love this microphone.
Okay. Just about like that. Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. Okay.
So good. Heber City, and then so now you live in Oakley.
Yes.
Now tell me about your home you built. Because when I saw these pictures online of this house, I was like, holy shit, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me about, is that like your dream home? Like,
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. She goes, yeah. I mean, so what that tells me is you're a high achiever and you're like, right. I just did this, but I'm going to do more in the future.
Yeah, right? We'll see what happens. I mean, it was supposed to be our forever home.
Uh-huh.
It took us 2 years to build.
Okay.
We just, my husband builds homes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we
tell me his name.
His name is Brock Melton.
Brock
Melton. His company's Iron Rock Customs.
Iron Rock Customs.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
So we had just finished building a house in Timberlakes in Utah and Heber City that we were going to move into.
Okay.
And then
now where's Timberlakes at? I don't know where that's at.
So it's 7 miles east of Heber City.
Okay.
So it's a mountain community.
East of Heber City. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So like
it's dirt roads, it's okay. Cabin property. And then with COVID, the percentage of full-time residents kind of shifted a little bit. So uh-huh. It's about half full-time residents and half vacation property owners.
So you were going to live there initially. Yeah. You were going to build there.
We built our first home there in like 2014. We moved in.
Okay.
And then we sold that one because my husband loved building. He's like, I want to build another one. So we bought a lot. We built another one. And instead of moving into the second one, we sold it because we found this property, 14 acres on the foothills of Oakley. And the view is just unbelievable.
You guys have 14 acres.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. So in Oakley.
Yeah. So we sold our brand new house and built another one.
I would too if I were you. That is so amazing.
It was crazy. It was worth it. It was a lot of sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been in that transitional phase of, you know, more or less being homeless for a couple of years. And so we finally moved in just a few months ago, and it's as lovely and wonderful as I thought it would be.
So where'd you guys go when you were homeless? Like you just
lived
behind a trash dumpster?
Well, we lived in a little 2-bedroom cabin with no garage.
Dude, that's not homeless.
No,
you were on vacation.
No. Well, it did feel like that for a little bit. And then, this is the funny part. So we rented a house in Francis. And then,
which I love Francis. I ride my motorcycle through there. It's just
right.
Splendid. Yeah.
Splendid. And then, the lady that we were renting from wanted to take advantage of the market and she sold her house.
So okay. Yeah.
That being said, we were like, what are we going to do? We don't want to sign another lease. Our home's getting close to getting completed.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved in our barn.
Shut up. You moved into the barn? Now, okay, but out here, barns in Utah are sometimes better than most resorts.
Right?
So was it a nice barn or did you live with the animals?
Oh, no animals yet, but it's a nice barn, but we put like a little kitchenette in it in a couple bedrooms.
Also, one thing I've learned, here in Utah, people call shops Barnes.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Is it a shop like where it's nice inside and then like you have...
Yeah. When we were going to build our home, all the offices were closed for COVID. So we could not get our building permit. Uh-huh. We wanted to break ground. I mean, it's a very rural community. So we had to drill a well.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. It is, it's on septic. So it's still on the outskirts of town, but we couldn't get our building permit, but we could do an outbuilding. So we threw a barn up real quick. And
on your current property.
On our property. Yeah. Okay. So the barn goes with the house. But yeah, we kind of made a little living quarters in the little corner.
That's right.
So it was cool. I mean, we put a trampoline in there for the kids. Did you really? It was the coolest thing ever.
So like wintertime, they can still play on the trampoline? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's rad.
I mean, now it has like boats and cars and supplies. And now it's more of a shop.
Right. Okay.
You know, it might one day turn into barn if we decide to get animals.
So did you leave the living quarters in there for like guests and stuff? Like make it like a guest house or?
It's kind of like a little guest area.
Okay.
Kinda. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's rad. So tell me, cool. So you're stoked. You just got into the new house. Are you mm-hmm. kind of getting used to it?
Yeah, it's nice. It finally feels like home. Okay. You know, like we went on a trip and I walked in the front door and, you know, when we came home and I'm like, oh my gosh, home sweet home. We've waited so long.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So we know where you're at in life. We can kind of sense that a little bit. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Tell me where you came from. You grew up in Sandy whole life.
Oh, pretty much. I was born in California. We moved to Sandy when I was three.
Okay. And then what kind of home life did you have? What kind of environment did you grow up in?
Oh, an amazing environment. So I have, there's five girls in my family, no boys.
Oh,
and
nice.
I am the middle child. My parents are wonderful.
Okay. Awesome.
You know, we weren't rich, but we weren't poor. I mean, I just felt like we had everything we needed. It was fun.
Good. So kind of like middle class.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Now you grew up kind of simply, how many kids were in your family?
Five.
Five kids. How many girls?
All girls.
All girls. Yeah. Okay. I have four daughters and I love the girl lifestyle. Like,
right.
Yeah. Now, when I was a boy, I was younger when I was a little boy. Yeah. I transitioned. No.
Now you're
when I was younger, I grew up, there were eight kids in my family.
Oh, wow.
And so five boys and three girls. But I was all boy and I was like cars and trucks and Tonka and all this stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And then when I had daughters, it was like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, I don't know how to do this. And now that I've had four of them, I'm like, I don't know how I would ever like have a boy. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel, right?
Yeah.
Well, when, before we had kids, I was like, oh, I want all boys. I've had enough girls. Right. I don't want the drama. You know? I'm like, I want boys. And here we are with two girls.
Two girls.
My husband's the most awesome girl dad ever.
And how old are your girls?
They are 8 and 10.
8 and 10?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. He seems like he really takes a strong interest in those babies.
He's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So life's good. Life's moving forward. Let me ask you this. Where were you before you started real estate? Why did you choose real estate to kind of progress your life?
So I was in retail sales and management.
Okay.
So
doing where
in
at?
The beauty industry. So I was a district manager. It was called Trade Secret Salons. I had, I was over a territory. So I had Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada and Utah, and I would travel to the different locations and I'd do all the hiring and training. And
that sounds really interesting.
I sold beauty products. So I did that for probably like 12 years. And then that company.
That's why you always look so dialed, right? Like we're at like the company like pool party and you're so dialed. I'm like, it looks like she just stepped out of a magazine at the pool party, you know?
Yeah, I know. My kids are like, Mom, why do you wear lipstick every day? I'm like, I don't know. It's just part of my life.
You are. But yeah.
Anyways, and then after that company, you know, went out of business. They sold. And then I got on with Ulta Beauty and actually opened the store just right down the street from Century 21.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I did that. And that was a blast.
How long ago was that you opened that store?
It was about 2013.
Okay.
So I did that. And then, I kind of will share my story with you, but,
please.
So my husband and I got married in 2001.
Okay.
And we wanted to start our family shortly thereafter, and we struggled with infertility for years.
Oh, right.
And, you know, we just couldn't have babies,
right.
I guess, more or less. A couple of miscarriages, you know, it's just always a struggle for us. We tried everything we could. And we finally decided that we wanted to adopt.
Oh, nice.
So both of my girls are adopted. Winter is the younger one, and we got her at birth.
So they're both adopted.
They're both adopted. Yeah.
So cool. You know, it's amazing how much adopted kids usually integrate into families. It's like, yeah. You would never guess, you know, you'd never go, oh, that kid doesn't really belong to, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they look really so integrated. And yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine life without my two girls, but oh, yeah. They were definitely meant to be a part of our family. Like Winter is so much like her dad. It just blows me away.
Aww.
And then Journey and I are very similar too.
So Winter and Journey?
Winter and Journey. Oh,
I love those names.
So they're awesome. So part of the story why I'm going into this is because what affected my job career change was, we finally, after 13 years of marriage, found out we were going to be able to adopt a little baby girl.
Aww.
And I was working 60 hours a week. And right. we were just in the process of building our first home in Heber.
Uh-huh.
And I started getting my real estate license done kind of discreetly. Okay. I was like, I'm going to switch careers. I'm just going to do it. Like, now
somebody,
it's better than ever.
Did somebody say, hey, come do real estate? You'd be really good at it. You always wear lipstick.
You know what? I just always loved real estate and looking at homes. And I had a friend that was a realtor. I used to wait tables too at the Huddle Sports Bar.
Oh, cool.
It's
yeah.
just up the street too. But one of my friends was a realtor. Of course, he was in there drinking. I'm like, what do you do for work? Do you have a job? He's like, you should be in real estate. You're so great.
Like, yeah, this is it. Yeah. Ooh, another one up. Yeah.
He's like, you're so great talking to people and you just have that personality. So that kind of inspired me a little bit. But my husband was super supportive. So he's like, do it. So I did string him online while I was on maternity leave. But anyways, so I did that while... you know, I had just opened that Ulta store and I was just slammed.
Right.
And it was kind of crazy because we built our house, we moved in, we adopted a baby. I switched careers like boom, all at once.
Wow.
And it was really crazy. And I always look back and I'm like, if I made it through that huge transition,
right.
I can do anything.
Oh, for sure. Know?
And it wasn't easy. I mean, when I first moved to Heber, I was commuting an hour to work every day, you know, rain, snow, or shine. And it's not that bad. I'm actually used to driving in the snow, but sometimes Parley's Canyon can get
I went up Provo Canyon one time back when I was a truck driver.
Oh, really?
And I was taking a load up Provo to go up to the spice place that's up there, the place that makes the cool. Is it Gossers?
Yes,
Gossers?
Okay.
I can't remember. They make soups and spices and all this stuff. So I'm taking these boxes up Provo Canyon. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning and nobody's up there. You know, nobody's going through the canyon yet. It had just snowed the night before. So I'm like the only like crazy person who's going to trudge up Provo Canyon to take a load up there. You know, like I should have really gone around. But anyways, I'm on my way up and this whole packed car full of college boys blows by me and they're flying up the canyon and it just snowed. I'm like, these guys are not from here. Like
they're crazy.
They're nuts. Yeah. And just as they get to that first little turn, as they pass me, they just slide out. They're just like,
scary.
And boom, right into a snowbank, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going so slow that by the time I get to them, they're actually back on the road on their way, but they're going way slower, you know? Because that canyon sometimes is just like crazy treacherous right after a snow.
Right.
So it's not that crazy. If you know how to drive in it, you're good.
If you do,
good.
But there's always people that don't, right?
Right.
Know how to drive it. And, you know.
I was like, I guarantee that kid, he's from like Southern California, like never touched the snow, doesn't, you know.
Yeah. It'd probably change his pants after that little spin out.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So anyways, I was commuting and here we've got this precious little baby girl. And I'm like, I am not going to work 60 hours a week plus 2 hours of commute to send her to daycare and have someone else raise her. And I'm like, I need more flexibility. Right. I want to do something that I'm passionate about, that I love. And that's when I was just really determined to get my real estate license. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't easy at first, but it was absolutely worth it.
Right.
Because
with the other career, that's obviously what a career is. You're tied to those hours. You have to be in certain places.
Yeah,
certain
you have
times.
To be there. And even, I mean, just like real estate, right? You're never off the clock or you're never not working because you get called on.
But you're still flexible which is nice, most of the time.
Yeah. And then I was the boss at the place. So I had to handle any issues or problems, you know, 24/7. And it's just like, right. It was just exhausting. And, you know, I gave so much to that and it wasn't rewarding. And that's one thing that I love about real estate is it's so rewarding. And I didn't even have any idea that it would be that rewarding.
How do you feel like real estate is rewarding for you?
Just because you get to help people and you get to watch their dreams come true and you get to help them through a stressful situation and guide them. And I love that.
You know, it's interesting. There's been parts of my business and my journey in real estate where I'm just like, I hate this.
You know? There's days like that.
You know? But I'm like, and there's been months and weeks for me. And it's like, I love it right now. I've loved it for years, but I'm just like, when did that switch for me? I think it's all about kind of what you're putting into your head and your perspective on what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like we were saying earlier. You know, it's on how you look at it, how you perceive it and the meaning that you give it to, give to it.
Before we started this this episode, I had all these technical issues. I couldn't, and it was like three technical issues in a row. I still didn't solve them, but we patched it together and we're on. But I was like, well, I don't know, you know, life happens for you. Right. And maybe our episode going on 40 minutes late, you know, protected one of us from a car crash today. You know,
you never know.
You just never know. So it's a gift. Even the trials are gifts. Yeah. Okay. So you got into real estate.
So I got into real estate.
When did you, what year was that? Did you say?
It was like 2014.
Okay.
So, I mean, I worked hard, but I didn't produce anything until first closing was in January of 2015.
So wait, I thought you were just successful right from the beginning. Isn't this just a natural thing?
It was rough, I'm telling you. I was just like, but I was so determined and adamant about succeeding because I wasn't just doing it for me. I was doing it for our family.
Right.
And I needed it. I wanted it. And I think that that gave me the drive to just be persistent and just keep at it until I made it.
So you felt like it was more of a hunger for you. Like you wanted it. You were hungry.
I was hungry. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
All right. So now you've been in the business for, how many years is that?
2004. Well, my daughter is 8 now. She just turned 8. So that's kind of how I gauge it.
Okay.
So probably like 7.5-ish years, maybe.
Okay.
She was about 6 months old when I got my license.
Okay. So that's nice. Yeah. It's about 7.5 years.
Yeah.
It took me at least 7.5 years to have like any level of success. Tell me what it's been like. So 7.5 years, that's a pretty good turnover to have the amount of success you've had in business.
Thank you.
Tell me what helped you get to there within real estate. It was a mentors, was it coaching, was it training, was it, you know, any specific?
It was a little bit of everything. Just trusting in the process and going through the motions because I knew that if I did it, it would eventually, you know, snowball, I guess.
Right.
So you have to start somewhere.
Right.
And like I said, it wasn't easy. And then plus I had a brand new baby. And then 2 years later, we adopted Journey, my older daughter. So we did foster care. And we had Journey for about 13 months before we got to adopt her.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
So when she joined our family, Winter was 2 years old and Journey was 4.
Aww.
So it went from going to, you know, from having one child to 2 and the fighting and just, I mean, the adapting was interesting. And we had bio visits every week, separate mom and dad visits. We had therapy sessions. I mean, it was pretty intense.
Right.
And, you know, during that process, we didn't know if we'd get to keep her or not. You know, we wanted to, but.
Oh, that's gotta be hard. That's gotta be a difficult thing, right?
When you hard because we fell in love with her from the beginning.
I've always wondered that, like, how would that be, you know?
Yeah, it was hard. But we loved her and that's exactly what's supposed to happen. You know, you're supposed to give your whole heart away. And if you lose her in the end, that's okay. Cause their goal is to reunite, them with their parents, but it worked out, where she wasn't reunited with her parents and we got to adopt her.
Wow.
So that's exciting. So that was, you know, during
that was
whole
a big
thing
right when you were getting into it and all that hits and you're doing all those things. Yeah. So you're having these other distractions.
Right.
So what helped you kind of grow in that process to where you could feel like you could have some,
I learned to really manage my time and take control of the things that I was able to control. So I would consolidate my work days and put like schedule all my appointments on like Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then I could dedicate, you know, my weekends and evenings to my family. And then I just had, you know, support because you can't do it all on your own.
But, right.
You know, once the girls both got in school full time, you know, when like Winter was in full time kindergarten.
Right.
Now, you know, now she's in second grade. So that was really only like 3 years ago, maybe. Uh-huh. But I feel like that's kind of when things really took off for me because I could, I mean, I always worked. I'm just a go-getter. I don't know. People are like, where do you get your energy from? And honestly, I don't know. I mean, I've just always been really energetic and I get bored easily. So I like to keep myself busy. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes it could be bad. But
now, how important is environment? Now, you and I have been in a company that is a very high producing, very high energy environment. How important has environment been for you in your growth in real estate?
I think it's very important. I love the culture that Century 21 offers and all of the training and the motivation. And I just feel like if you surround yourself with people that bring out the best in you, then you're going to achieve success because it's inevitable, right? You put yourself in that environment. That's the direction that you're going to grow in. You know, I'm also very independent though. With that being said, I don't go into the office very much, but when I first started, I was there every training. Every single day.
So let me ask you this. Why stay in the environment? Is it because for me, I don't go in there very much because I have my own external office and environment.
Yeah, me too.
But I stay there for a couple of reasons. One is it's been loyalty, right?
Because
of what they gave me in the past, you know? Mm-hmm. The other thing is that whenever I need to draw on that energy or that environment, I can go to it.
Right. Yeah. Same case scenario for me. I love that. It kind of feeds my soul.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah. Because at some point, you know, you always want to get to a point where you're self-driven or you're self-motivated. Oh, yeah. You have your own abilities to grow. But it's so nice to be able to draw on an environment that gives you that synergy so that when you're in like a really shitty day or you're overloaded and you don't feel like you can handle one more thing, that you're able to go into an environment that's already pre-made for you to be able to have success.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Oh yeah, exactly.
I've been doing this almost 20 years and it's like,
so crazy. That's so long.
It's crazy, but it's like, I'm like, dude, I've been at this brokerage the entire time. I've been with the same leadership my entire career and it's taught me how to, or it's allowed me to come back when I need it. You know, I'll go back to the brokerage when I need that uplift or if I need another meeting to sit in. Because environment, you know, Tony Robbins says proximity is power.
Yeah.
And so the environment is so critical. You know, that's why whenever somebody's a new agent, I don't tell them, hey, yeah, you're good. You can do it on your own.
Right.
Even if they may be able to. I always tell them, dude, go into the right environment that has the right people. And I'm not affiliated by any means on the leadership or the income of this company, but I highly believe in the right environment to help an agent grow.
Oh, yeah. And that's what really kept me going in the beginning. I mean, otherwise, you could get so discouraged and just give up, you know? And and that's exactly why I went to all of the trainings and all of those read books. I still always listen to audiobooks because I'm in the car a lot.
Right.
Just feeding your mind with good material at all times.
Right.
Yeah. But I love all of the values that Century 21 instilled in me from the very beginning.
Yeah. You know? It's such a great organization. Yeah. And the cool thing about C21 is their ability to market your properties for you effortlessly. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I'll just go with a little mom and pop brokerage. Well, the reason why people pay for the bigger companies is because those bigger companies have a bigger marketing reach, and which equals more leads, which equals more views on your properties if you're a listing or leads if you're a buyer's agent. So,
yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Because I was, you know, I'm always like, I like to see people's opinions because there's so many different agents and brokers and stuff that are like, oh, I'm just going to go do it on my own and open my own shop and all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, a lot more effort, you know, I'm going to make so much more money. You do if you really grow it big time.
Right.
But if you're not really growing it that big, go get into somebody who already did and, you know, be a partner. Yeah. I just had, do you know who Boyd Brown is?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah. He started,
I don't know him personally, but
so he started all the Keller Williams offices here in Salt Lake. And, you know, they do over $3 billion in revenue a year out of their offices. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, to create an environment like that from where you did, and he's been doing it for 27 years, you know, he's only 50 and he's been doing it for 27 years.
That's cool.
Like, that's wild, dude. Yeah. Like, But he's like, I said, you know, that's why people go to you, is because you have this option of growth for so many people. They can just plug in and it, and go, and the sky's the limit, you know, or actually there is no limit really. You
right.
Know?
Right. Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So get yourself an environment, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's
it's key.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's super critical. Sure. What else has helped you? I mean, how do you maintain, you are always super upbeat, you know, every time I see you, you're super happy, you're super upbeat. I know a lot of people put on just a smile when they're in social environments, but I really feel like that's part of your soul and part of who you really want to be all the time. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course I'll have my bad days or something, or I'll have a moment of stress or something. I'm definitely not perfect, but yeah, I mean, I think that it's just in my nature. And you know, even my mom's like, Amber, where do you get your energy? Did not get it from me, but, I don't know. I love it. Yeah. I thrive in an environment where I can grow and do as much as possible, you know, but like I said, that can also be a downfall, you know, if I put too much on my plate, you know? I don't want to get overwhelmed. When my business first started taking off faster than I could handle it. I mean, I had like 7 listings at the same time. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm juggling too much. But I mean, again, you just learn how to handle it, you know, and I was used to going like 1,000,000 miles an hour. So when things slowed down, I was like, oh, you know, like George Morris says, I can do more. I can handle more. Like that's always my motto, because I know I can do it.
Right.
I just got to figure out.
Well, just look
strategy.
At Elon Musk, right?
Right.
I've never seen any guy with so much on his plate and every single thing he does is massive with tons of thousands of people. And it's like, I don't know how you do it, but I can handle more, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's one thing that I've learned too, like with my schedule, I have to learn to be flexible. You have to kind of go with the flow, because it's not just what I've got on my plate. It's what everybody else has on their plates too. So I've learned that.
I've learned this like new thing, you know, cause I was always like, oh, I need to balance my life. I need to have more balance. And then I met with, do you know who Luke Wren is? So he worked with Tony Robbins' organization for a while, and he came to one of our events that we did a little while ago. And he's like, balance is bullshit. I'm like, I'm all, what? Wait, what? Like, balance is bullshit. He's like, yeah. He said, you have to have rhythm.
I like that.
Yeah. He said, rhythm allows you to be flexible. It allows you to move and be a chameleon or to come and go when you need to, rather than be so stringent and strict on, you know, this is my schedule. This is where I'm going to be. Because in real estate, you do have to be flexible.
You do.
Right?
Well, yeah. And it's benefited me in many ways in the past, you know, like someone has to change an appointment. You know, if I've got my day so crammed, so tight, and I can't change that appointment, like that's not beneficial.
Right.
You know, so you do have to be flexible. But I like that, you know, rhythm over balance, because I used to be so hard on myself because I wanted so hard to be a mom. I wanted for so long. And I'm like, I got to devote devote all my time and energy to my kids. But I'm like, but I also want to build my career. And I really do believe that you can have it all.
Have it
you
all.
You can have
yeah.
it both, you know, and it's not just about balance, but it is about rhythm.
Right.
Because, you know, you get thrown for loops every day.
There's a gal that I know down in Utah County. Her name's Lacey. She goes by Lacey Lynn as her, as her realtor tag. But she somehow balances everything, and the girl does just tremendous amounts of business.
Yeah,
but she's a full-time mom too, all the way along the way, you know. She'll drag them along if she needs to or whatever. And I'm just like, that, you know, my wife does some of that too. She's a full-time agent too.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, I find it so fascinating when a woman, because as men we kind of sometimes have just this kind of clean cut, like responsibilities a lot of time. Like, I have to go to work these times, these hours, right? Mm-hmm. As a realtor, that's not the case.
Right.
But let's say a woman that is, you know, married to a man who has a traditional job, the ability to structure and just be okay with being flexible on bringing the kids if you need to, you know, they can sit in the car on an iPad or something while you do a showing.
Thank goodness for iPads.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that to me means so much. And it enables the working mom to be so much more flexible, especially in the real estate industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. Oh, but networking for moms. Excellent. Uh-huh. Excellent source.
Tell me about
potential
that.
Potential clients. I mean, just when the kids were small, like daycare, one of the employees I listed and sold their home.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, and then from that you get referrals and it grows your business.
And the grocery store.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I got my kids train, man. They're like, my mom's a realtor, and really? They'll like hand out my card. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, they're child like my labor
little cheerleaders. They love it. I know, they're so cute. Yeah,
the child kids labor. In the house.
Woo! Love it.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
my kids are. We're starting to train them. They're getting to that point where they're a lot more like conscious of what mom and dad do.
Now, how old are your?
So we have a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 12-year-old, or no, 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 12-year-old, and my oldest daughter, which doesn't live with us, she lives with her mom. She is almost 21.
Oh wow! Okay,
that's wild.
Fun. Oh my god!
First marriage. She's she's not my biological daughter, but I claim her. You know, she's I keep her.
That's good. That's awesome.
So okay, so we've talked about your business. We've talked about growth as a mom. What you transitioned from. Tell me, who were your greatest mentors? Who are the people in your life that truly mentored you, guided you, gifted you their time, their energy, their love?
Well, I say Leah Kruger because I'm on her team at work.
Definitely. And, I love Leah.
I know. She's such a rock star.
Such a rock star,
and,
yeah.
I just love that I can go to her with any question, you know? And she believed in me before I believed in myself, you know, before I had built up any confidence and I had no experience. She's like, Amber, you can do this, you know?
Yeah.
And she really took me under her wing. So I learned so much from her and I continue to learn from her. And that's another thing that I love about being a realtor is you learn something new every day. Every transaction is different. So it never gets boring and it's just continual growth. But Leah's been really somebody that I can lean on and look up to. And then George, I love George. I love all
Morris.
Of his stories.
Yep, yeah, George Morris. Yeah,
he's just such an inspiration, and I can relate to him a lot. I think he's funny. I love it. I love it. I love going to the meetings, the summits, and things like that. And then Tony Robbins. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I couldn't say he's my personal mentor, but he's had a huge impact on my life, and I'm so grateful that I went to my first, UPW. I don't even know. I was trying to look that up and tell you what year it was, but I saw you there.
Oh, yeah,
the first time I went was Century 21.
That was in, was that in LA?
It was.
It was LA, yeah. So that would have been 2018, maybe? No.
That sounds right.
19? Maybe 19.
18 or 19?
18 or 19, right
there. Yeah, that was the first time I went. Okay. And I remember... I could barely afford my plane ticket.
Yeah.
And I went with my friend Rita. She's on our team with Leah.
Uh-huh.
And I had bought a ticket at something. They came and spoke at one of our events. And I was like, he's like, sign up now. So I signed up and I was like, I can do this. And I tried to cancel my sign up because I can't afford this. I can't leave
my
kids. I'm like, for a weekend, there's no way I could go. And I went and it was so amazing. I loved it. And then the night when I got home, like I stayed up, my husband and I were up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I told him all about it. Right. Like, I was like, you got to come to this with me. It was amazing.
People don't realize, you know, if you haven't gone, you don't get it. And a lot of people are like, oh, I went to one of the virtual events. And I'm like,
it's not the same.
Not the same. Like, I know they're trying to integrate it in a way that people can really feel it, but being candid like that, when you're in the environment,
energy,
you feel the souls of everybody around you. You have that energy around you. And then there's in some way, because my first event was in New Jersey the November before that.
Okay.
So I went like three in a row as quick as I could, because I felt like I'm like this tree and I have all this rough bark on the outside. And for the first time in my life, Tony was able to pull back the bark and see smooth parts of my insides, you know? And I was like, man, if I could do that with just one event, how much more could the next one do for me? So then I went and I was like, oh, I found something completely different than I needed to work on, you know?
Yeah.
And just like you, the first time I went to a Tony Robbins event, I couldn't afford to go.
Yeah.
I was broke as a joke. I had lost a lot of business. I was dealing with some PTSD from a plane crash that I had gotten in. And I just... which you said, you told me you saw
I
that
watched
story. But it was like, it was such a time of healing for me.
Yeah.
Because I felt like my walls were so high and my bark was so thick that I wouldn't let anybody or anything in deep enough to be able to change.
Yeah.
And what Tony enables people to do is step outside of their comfort zone.
Right.
Big time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By doing weird things. Right. And then yeah. they're silly, but they mean so much to you later. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, doing things like walking on fire and just breaking yeah. the habits that bind us.
Right.
And I remember there was this moment in New Jersey. And do you remember the Dickens process?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. Like, it's crazy, huh?
It is. Yeah.
And so we had just finished the Dickens process for the first time. I'm actually seeing myself as a raw person again and seeing yeah. myself for who I really am. And I remember looking up into the stadium and into the rafters, and I was just having this moment of like breakthrough and clarity yeah. and like, oh my gosh, I'm changing right now, yeah. you know, and in the ways
so cool.
that I've always wanted to change. And it was like everything was lifted off my shoulders, all the weight was gone, and I was a fresh new being ready to yeah. move forward. And so I had this transformation. It was Lindsay Wardle
right.
that yeah. actually invited me. And she's like, so you cool. have to go. It changed my life. And I'm like,
yeah.
what do you mean it changed your life? It's a seminar,
it really did,
right?
Though. I mean, my first one had a huge impact on me. And I've been several times since then. Uh-huh. But it was so cool because my husband went with me the second time around. And not only,
oh, nice.
Not only could we afford to go, but we took two other couples with us.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
Brock did it with his work. So he paid for it out of his business. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
sweet.
We had come so far in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it just, it still blows me away.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? If you, yeah. if you fix your brain, if you fix what's going yes. on up here, how yep. far you can go so quickly.
Yep. Get rid of those limiting beliefs. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because it was similar for us from the first time I went to yeah. the next time I went, I had like quadrupled my income and
so cool.
because yeah. all the shit was gone. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you've got to get rid of it. You've yeah. got. So I always tell, I've taken people every single time I've gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I love that. And you know what? The last time we went, it was after COVID kind of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was the first event after they had after only COVID, done virtual yeah. events.
That was over in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. I was at that one too.
Oh, you were. I think I saw you.
I'm going to this next one next week too.
Are so, you? Yeah. Good for you. I know I want to go too. I want to do Date with Destiny.
I do too. No, Jen? I haven't done it
okay,
yet with
I
Jennifer.
Do it.
Yeah.
I want to do it. So that's on one of my dream boards. There you go.
Nice.
But we took, so we do Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Oh, awesome.
And our little brother, who's now 19, his name's Lucas. We took him. And my niece, who's 16, 17 now. But it was so fun to take them because they're so young.
Right.
And like, if I had, I mean, because I don't know how old I was when I went to my first Tony Robbins, like 42 or
right.
3 or something like that. Like, I thought if I had
You mean 24.
That, right?
That's what yeah. you mean.
If I had the knowledge that I had that, you know, when I was 24, I'm like, how awesome
How much
that
better,
been?
Yeah.
So it was so cool to be able to take those younger kids with us and, I thought it was neat.
Isn't it neat
to watch them.
Isn't it amazing how much they do absorb?
They did.
And how much they get.
They were awesome.
Yeah. I was like, man, I don't know that I would have been that open to it, you know?
They were really open. And I think it was very, I don't know. I think it really had an effect on them. And that's good because obviously, you know,
changes their way of thinking.
Yeah. For sure. So
cool.
Very cool.
So tell me, so Tony Robbins, Leah Kruger, George Morris, any other leaders, mentors in your life, any books that you've read that really kind of like made you come out of your holes or your skin?
Yeah. But just going back to that mentor list, I'd say my husband's been a huge support.
Huge mentor.
He's awesome. Uh-huh. And then my parents, they're so supportive. My mom and dad are just like, Amber, you can do anything you want. We always believed in you, you know? And
that's awesome.
They're always, I mean, of course, they're my mom and dad, but they're right. so proud of me. And I just, I don't know. I love that. You know, I like to make them proud. But, and then as far as books go, one of my favorite books is The Compound Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I love that one.
I do too.
It's just so applicable to life.
Right.
And it just, I loved it. I loved that one. And then, what is one am I listening to right now? I can't remember. I'll look it up. It was called, The Power of One More.
Okay. Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Ed Milet.
Yeah. yeah uh-huh. I really like that one.
I just downloaded that one on Audible. So that'll
Good.
Be, that'll
oh,
be
I
one of my
it.
Upcoming, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't sit down and read, but, I listen to it when I'm driving and I love it when I'm listening to something that's so inspiring that I just can't wait to get back in the car again.
Yeah, exactly.
So those two books were like that for me.
I learned how to do business, education from my dad, you know, when he was an Amway distributor, you know, like back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And he would always listen to the cassette tapes in the car you know, back in the day. And so he had this briefcase, like briefcases full of cassette tapes of all these different like top producers in Amway. Yeah. And he would listen. So I like got this stuff like going in my head from the time I was like 5 years old or something, you know, or 3 years
That's
old.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so he always, you know, he was always this massive dreamer and always had these huge lofty goals and all this stuff. And, you know, he's still around, by the way, but he lives through vicariously through us and what we've created, you know,
I love it. That's
me and
awesome.
My siblings. So
Good.
That's awesome. Well, dude, Amber, I just called you dude.
That's okay.
I'm just saying dude. All right. I feel like we're like that. Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Like
it's been
such a treat. Let me ask you this before we go. What would you tell somebody who's fresh in the business, brand new, they're coming into this market that is starting to drop?
A little challenging, huh?
Little challenging. It's challenging, but right. We all like a good challenge, right?
Yes, we do, right?
So what would you tell them as they're meeting these challenges coming into the marketplace, and how would you advise them to move forward?
I would just say, give it all you got. Don't give up. Believe in yourself. Feed your mind.
Okay.
You know, do the work. Just, you know, go to those trainings. Set yourself up in the right environment. Fill your mind with knowledge and inspiration, and just work on yourself. And, you know, if you do all of those things and you trust in the process and you continuously go through the motions, it'll come back.
And the motions meaning
like
get to work,
like prospecting, you know, like taking care of yourself and just not giving up and really just believing in yourself, I think is so important.
Because
they can
actually do it, right?
You can do it. It doesn't matter what the market's doing. If you're a good realtor, you're going to make it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. So,
thank you.
It has been a gift to have you on.
Thank you. Even though
we had all kinds of technical issues, we got it done.
We made the best of it.
You guys, thank you for watching another episode of Closer Cult. My name's Alma Merrill, and this was Amber Milton. Where can they reach you online, Amber?
AmberMiltonRealtor.com.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
You guys, thanks for listening and watching Closer Cult, and we will see you guys next time.
Thank you.